Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, we got contracts, we have hippies, and we got quite a lot of pancakes. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Get that hair up and square up, because we are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down SmackDown Live. What is up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Whole gang is with me this week. First off, he is Tom Connolly.
Hello. I'm here.
You are here. Are you putting your hair up and squaring up?
No, I'm just buzzing my hair off. And
buzzing the hair off.
Hoping it maybe grows back.
Right. Gabby Lorenkin put her hair up and square up. Oh, look, that's an intimidating look right there.
I'm here, and I'm squaring up.
There you go. I got scared for a minute there.
Hey, I do boxing.
That's why I'm scared.
Pretty athletic over here.
You don't want to upset Gabby Lorenkin, people. Mm-hmm. She will beat you down.
And quite a few people have upset me. I'm not gonna lie. Quite a few in those comment sections.
Did you beat them down?
No, I'm too nice to you guys. But you haven't seen the real New York yet.
Oh, I have.
You have.
I have. Run. Go old school Bray Wyatt promo. Run. Hey, SmackDown tonight. We're getting closer and closer to TLC. There was a few matches tonight that we've seen a million times. But then there were,
I don't know what you're talking about.
But then there were
all fresh lineup tonight.
No, but there was a couple refreshing moments tonight as well.
Mm-hmm. So was Randy Orton and Matt Hardy refreshing for you?
Well, Jeff
Hardy. For Jeff Hardy. Lord.
Don't beat her up on...
You know, no. I know, seriously. No. Jeff Hardy.
It was a Hardy.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
No. But people care, clearly.
But there were definitely some fun, refreshing moments, and we'll get to it, but a whole nother side of the champ, which we'll break down.
Oh, my gosh. This is, like, incredible. Like, I love this. I loved it so much. I can't wait to talk about it.
The show's old?
But Daniel Bryan's character is so... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we'll be getting into that.
We will be getting into that, but I just want to say from our last conversation, uh-huh. What a step up tonight. And I cannot wait to talk about it because I was looking forward to that moment.
So the show starts off with the contract signing for the women's TLC triple threat match. So we have Becky, Asuka come out, then Charlotte, and then Becky, and...
Who?
Becky, the man.
Okay.
The man. Because when you're
making
the man,
sure you get that right.
When you're the man, you make history every time you step in this ring. She calls Charlotte and Asuka dopes. Charlotte and Becky then go back and forth a little bit. And then Asuka, thankfully, like in this case, interrupts and like, no, Asuka, you're involved in this. Like, step up. And I thought she did. Mm-hmm. She brings up that, Charlotte, Becky's beating you. And Becky, you've never beaten me. And you made the wrong choice of Survivor Series because I could have beat Ronda. Mm-hmm. Charlotte then insults Asuka because Charlotte ended the streak. Everyone signs the contract. Becky then leaves. Asuka challenges Charlotte to a match right there, but they are interrupted by Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, who kind of say the same thing as they've said the last few weeks, like, "Oh, here you go, giving all these other people opportunities instead of us." Even though, you know, there was that battle royal last week, so everyone had an opportunity. And Sonya mentions, though, that she dominated the battle royal but just made one mistake, and that's not going to happen again. And this
it was like the worst mistake.
It was the worst time of a mistake.
She literally just ran at her while they were both on the apron. Like, Asuka could have just moved to the side and jumped, and she could have fell out of the ring.
When the adrenaline's pumping?
I know. It was a weird way to kind of end that, though. Yeah.
So this leads to a tag match of Mandy and Sonya versus Asuka and Charlotte. Becky then comes back out to watch ringside. And interesting finish. So Mandy is pulling Asuka, distracts Charlotte, pulls Asuka off the apron. Then Asuka gets back up, pulls Mandy off the apron. And Charlotte turns to give a big boo on what she thought was Mandy, but was Asuka.
Did she?
I mean, based on how it was revealed. Sonya then rolls up Charlotte, who then counters it. And then Asuka runs in and intentionally gives a shining wizard to Charlotte. And then walks out of the ring. And Sonya Deville pins Charlotte Flair. Easily the biggest win in the young career of Sonya. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since we've said Mandy and Sonya won something.
Or worked together.
Or worked together.
Yeah, effectively.
There was no real dissension this week. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so is it a bigger deal that they actually worked together? Or is it a bigger deal that Sonya pinned Charlotte?
Sonya pinned Charlotte.
I agree.
That would be mm-hmm. the bigger deal. Because, like we mentioned in a previous broadcast here at AfterBuzz, it's looking like they're going to really be pushing Mandy and Sonya now and hopefully bring them up to a higher relevance on the SmackDown roster. So it's nice to see them give that opportunity, regardless of them just being given cards or given matches. They're actually given opportunities to win matches, and that's really important as well.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a fun match, too. It was good.
Yeah.
The ending was, I mean, it was unexpected. Like, I was like, oh, this will be a nice win for Charlotte and Asuka to show, like, oh, they're both dominant, and they can still kind of work together to beat them. And then when they lost, I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're going with this now.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly like it, but, you know, it was just maybe a month or so ago when you had AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan teaming up and losing to the Usos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's your two top contenders, but can't get along, mm-hmm. and they fail against you can say a quote-unquote established team, since Sonya and Mandy are always aligned together.
See, that's the only thing that's going to bother me, is that once they come to a higher relevance, these girls are going to wind up splitting up and feuding and then having a storyline against each other, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but at the same time, I think they need to, like, work with them more as being partners, because that's what they've been doing for so long in the WWE as they came up. So I think they need to stick with that storyline for a little bit, since it's the beginning of their careers. And then slowly build to maybe a breakup.
Well, and it could be possible. Like we said, there was no dissension tonight.
Yeah.
So nothing, I don't know. Right? Maybe they are going to put on a back burner for a little bit and let them push before doing it again. Yeah. Or maybe it was just like, no, we want to focus more on the Asuka Charlotte stuff. And next week we'll get back to the seed planting.
Yeah.
Or,
and what did they say? It was, what did they call themselves? Fire and something.
I don't remember. Chat roll.
Yeah.
Help us out.
But whatever they said about themselves, I was like, oh, that's a good, like, name for a team, kind of, mm-hmm. too. Like, I mean, I feel like at least...
It wasn't Fire and Ice, right?
No.
Because that was Scott Norton and Ice Train in WCW.
No, I can't remember. It was Fire and something.
Well, it could also be a Sasha Bailey situation.
Yeah.
Where they're friends, and then they're not friends one day, but then they're friends again the next time, so... And we're all confused.
Yeah, I don't want to be that confusing. I think it's just let's keep them together for now. There's enough other storylines that are happening, I think, or maybe we can make with the women's division on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's saying it's Fire and Desire.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, okay, Fire and Desire.
Thank you, chat roll.
Yes.
Always on it.
This is why we love our chat roll.
They're like our fact checkers.
They are. No, they are. Because when we're wrong, which happens quite a bit, they correct us. And we love that because we love hearing from the people in our chat roll. We love hearing people on YouTube and iTunes. Tom is laughing because I'm the king of segues, ladies and gentlemen. But we want to find ways to make this show even better for you, and Tom's going to tell you how.
I am going to tell you. So, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. And there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we always need your help, because if you help us out, we help you out by giving you great shows.
Help me help you.
Yes. So we're asking you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. And for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Go do it.
And Zeno Hour in a chat. That's right. Hashtag Segway City. Love it. Love it.
That should be your shirt. That's your next shirt, I think.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's a great idea for a shirt. Oh. That's going to have to happen. triple threat match. Speaking of something that has to happen, mm-hmm. this first time I remember this triple threat match.
I read this online yesterday. They were like, last week they announced it was going to be a triple threat for the tag team championships.
At TLC.
But did they? I don't remember them announcing that last week.
They didn't announce it during the show.
Oh, okay. That's what I was like. Okay. I was like, wait, what? I'm like, we didn't talk about that.
No, because we were assuming it was going to be the Bar and the Usos.
Yeah.
But because New Day's still been a thorn in their side, everyone gets a shot.
I guess.
And it's still going to be fun.
Yeah.
But tonight we had Cesaro versus Xavier Woods versus Jey Uso. And I loved this idea. And next week we'll probably get it again with Sheamus, Jimmy Uso, and one of the other New Day guys. But it's great because it's one thing. I love seeing one half of a tag team face another half of a tag team when they're primarily tag team wrestlers. Because it's like, oh, they're out of their element. How are they going to do in singles competition? Now, with Cesaro, it's a little different because he's had such a single success. But Xavier primarily has been tag team, and we know, obviously, Jey Uso has. And they gave this match a lot of time. Everyone had their moments, especially Cesaro with an airplane spin. Airplane spin and big swing at the same freaking time. He is a freak of nature.
That was amazing. Just think about how much weight that is. On both parts. That's your upper body and your lower body.
Right. I mean, it's like probably like 220 or so on your shoulders. That alone, I mean, for a regular person is insane.
And then
spinning another 230, 240 pound guy with your core.
Yeah.
And spinning around in a circle with both of those happening.
While you're dizzy.
Yeah. And you get dizzy during it. And by the way, it's 15 minutes into a match.
Yeah.
It happened like at the end of the match.
He's just incredible. I mean, I really wish – I like that he's at least in a tag team and doing something instead of just not being on TV each week. But I really wish they would push him as a singles guy. Like, he could definitely be – I mean, he could definitely be WWE champion, but at least give him, like, the U.S. title sometime. Like, not right now.
He did have that once.
I know, but I know he had it for a long time.
And no one noticed.
No, yeah.
But, yeah, this was – A great match. Like I said, all three guys had their moments. New Day had the commentary table where then the pancakes got knocked over and Biggie became very sad. Jey gets to win with a super kick on Cesaro. So I wouldn't be surprised if next week the New Day member wins, because then the bar's like, oh no, we lost both of these matches. How are we going to overcome the odds?
Yeah.
Things like that. But I absolutely, this was my favorite part of SmackDown today, was this match. I love this match.
Wow. Ooh. Wow. Not us. We're on the same page with Daniel Bryan.
I love that too. But this match was just really entertaining.
You can only pick one. I'm sorry.
I'm sticking with my guns and I'm saying I'm picking this as my number one.
Okay.
I thought it was awesome. It was good. Like, it was good. I mean, I feel like, you know, we got the solid first, like the women were the first, like, almost half hour of SmackDown. You know, second half hour, you switch to the tag team. Like, it's a very well-structured show. Everyone gets their fair share here.
And it's so weird. It's so well-structured, an hour less than Raw.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I know it's going to really suck when whoever's in charge of SmackDown gets moved to Raw.
I skipped because it might now lead to another triple threat match, but next week we're also having a rap battle.
Yeah, I did see that. Yes, yeah, yeah.
But New Day are judging it.
Yes, but the Usos the bar, and the Bar challenged the Usos.
To the wrap-off.
Yes.
Last year's was so good. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Rusev and Lana. Rusev's being asked as far as, you know, what do you think of Nakamura attacking you before the start of the match last week? And Rusev mentioned how Nakamura's terrified. This chest is like wine bells. These biceps are bigger than Mount Fuji. And traps like double-decker taco supremes. I'm hungry. For my championship. And then he goes on, like, pretty much saying that U.S. title is going to be his. And Nakamura has done nothing with the title. Which is true.
True.
But, hey, what's this? A feud for the United States Championship? Yeah. This is new.
Did you like the end part with him jumping back
in? Jumping in and screaming Rusev Day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fine.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the promo.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was simple.
It was honestly probably his best promo since the English split.
Yeah.
In an English split.
I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they're doing something with him.
Yeah.
Like, it's at least, all right, we're getting a follow-up from last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't read spoilers yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they, like, the way he was kind of talking about it, I'm like, oh, are they going to have a match at Tribute to the Troops? I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Because I don't think they've ever, I mean, I haven't watched all of them, but I don't think they've ever, like, changed titles on a show like that.
I don't think they've ever had a title change at Tribute to the Troops.
No, which I think would be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be something cool. Like, it would get people, I think, to tune in more.
I have a feeling it's probably, like, going to end up being...
It'll be a TLC. Or
like, kickoff on TLC.
I don't want to be. Lucha House Party can have the kickoff match all they want, okay? They can beat the Revival for the 7,000th time.
Miss TV, it gets started, but then immediately interrupted by R-Truth and Carmella for a dance break, and then they leave. Is Carmella just being kind to R-Truth, or are they trying to make Carmella as stupid as R-Truth? I really hope not.
No. Because I saw her, like, somebody I was kind of getting down on her on Twitter of, like, oh, you went from champion to just being, like, R-Truth's, like, backup.
No, nothing like
that.
And
it's like, no, like, she's on TV still each week.
She's,
like,
on every week. Yeah. She's over as hell.
Yeah, and now she actually has something else, like, another, you know, weapon to use. Not weapon, but, you know, segment kind of thing of, like, oh, the dance break. Like, people like doing it. It's something fun.
No, crowd gets into it. Yeah. It's just like, because it was just like the timing of it. It was just like, this is something that R-Truth would clearly do by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, like, you know, Carmella's almost kind of leading the way with it.
Yeah, but I also feel like Carmella kind of keeps him in line and in check. So I don't think she looks...
Good. Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
I don't want to say stupid, but I don't think she looks stupid. She's just having fun and a good time. Mm-hmm. And the audience loves it. The WWE Universe has fun with it. So as long as that's happening, then that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. And I think the dance break could work both ways as well. Like, it could be something fun when she's a good guy, and then if she becomes a heel again, you know, down the line sometime, like, it could be a, oh, dance break, oh, but we're not going to dance. You know what I mean? Like, get people
just
excited.
Just for me.
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so it could work.
So Miz brings out for his guest the new Daniel Bryan. Before we get into all the craziness...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even say it this week.
Wow.
And Steve is on point.
I'm like amazed right now.
In the booth, I said nothing. And he sensed it. He sensed a crazy vegan hippie t-shirt that Dan O'Brien was wearing.
Okay. But I was like, that's not a Dan O'Brien shirt, though.
It is not a Dan O'Brien shirt.
I liked it.
It was a heart, like a human body heart, not like your shape heart. With branches and leaves going out of it, and it's green. And he had on, like, the cardigan sweater. And, my God, did he look like he just crawled out of his Seattle home.
Yep.
So grungy. So Eddie Vedder-esque. I loved it. Because it, like, the shirt just made me, oh, now you're throwing, like, just the shirt alone. Mm. Oh, you're throwing this out of face. So you're, like, a vegan and super... earthy and all that. Mm-hmm.
I just loved how they took his real life character, who he is in reality, and what we see him to be in person, and created an element to his WWE character. And you could see how passionate Daniel Bryan is when he talks and he's addressing the audience and talking about Alexander Hamilton and the fickleness and how you're ruining the environment with the meats and the plastics and everything. You could tell that he speaks from a place of knowledge and passion.
Did you see him almost break when he was trying to scream fickle for the first time? He almost started, like, laughing.
Oh,
he's like, I'm saying fickle really loud right now.
I was just really into it, but it was well done.
Well, going with what you're saying, like, the key thing, and everyone who is, like, part of our trains in wrestling, they always tell you the best type of characters are when it's yourself turned up all the way to a 10.
Yeah.
That's why Miz is so good. Mm-hmm. That's why New Day is so good. That's why The Rock is so good. And Dan O'Brien, I mean, we've had him up to the 10 on the hero side.
Mm-hmm.
But then for, like, the things that he seriously stands for, Now we're going to turn that part of your real life up to a 10 where you're just an annoying hipster who everyone hates now.
I love him.
but it was done so well. And it was really interesting because Miz is just pretty much kind of egging on. It's just like, you seem confident. This is because of me, because I'm the one who told you to do this stuff. And Brian talks about, I kicked one man in the groin once on one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people commit countless atrocities across the earth every day.
He's not lying.
I know.
He's not.
Like, that's the best. Like, I feel like most of the time, heels lie to make themselves look better. But he's just like, I'm going to tell you straight facts about real things that are happening, and you can't come back and say no, that's not true, when there's facts and scientific data to back all that stuff up.
Yeah,
and it just makes people, you know, hate him even more to just be throwing that in your face.
Well, I feel like this is to your point last week. I believe that you said that you need to be a heel in a different way, like be your own type of heel. I think we were all talking about this, where there is a generic heel, and it wasn't necessarily working for him because we didn't see Daniel Bryan ever as a heel type character. He needed to really move it up a level and take it up a notch. And this week, because he did that, and he did incorporate his real character and these real facts that you say to really get into the minds and the psychological part of what everyone's thinking, I think it's really done what it was supposed to do. It's created him to be a different kind of heel and not your standard average heel.
Right. And one other thing that I love, because it was done to me, like when he came to the ring, I was because I was watching in our screening area here at the AfterBuzz Studios, and I'm watching, I'm like, why do I feel like the title is darker? Like, it felt darker to me. And then as like they zoomed in on him during the interview, it was like, oh, the side plates that we talked about with the SCW, they're not on. And then he pulls them out of his pocket and slams them to the ground. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I like this.
Like, I do you think he's going to ever get side plates or no? Like, I like it not. I'm fine with him not having, because I feel like it's one of those things where it's like he's trying to be like,
they're going to be made out of hemp.
Not corporate. like this is mine. Like, all right, it may be the company's, but I'm taking control of this now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a, you know, display. It's a display of me of being like, I'm my own man. I'm doing this on my own. I don't need these people or, you know, anything else to do this.
Yeah. And then AJ Styles comes out, and he heads to the ring. Brian pushes Miz into AJ. AJ then clocks Miz, starts chasing Brian. Eventually, Brian goes back into the ring. Miz then helps Daniel Bryan and gives a skull-crushing finale to AJ Styles. And then Miz and Daniel Bryan have an awkward stare. Are we forming an alliance?
I think Miz found his tag team partner.
Well, you know, he's not going to get it through Shane McMahon. Yeah, exactly. So he needs to find somebody else.
They're co-besties.
Yeah, he wishes.
Well, everyone wishes to team with the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
I was going
to
say, who do you believe is the best, Miz or Shane?
Oh, it's easily Shane. He won the trophy.
Yeah.
No doubt
But
about
Miz
it.
Won two of the matches, so Shane wouldn't even have been in that spot if Miz didn't win those matches.
Shane could have beat all eight of them in one night. Or all four
at the
of them.
Same
How
time.
Many were there? I don't remember. Eight.
Yeah. All seven of them.
All seven of them.
The thing I loved too was Daniel Bryan just shutting down the what chance.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so brilliant. Like, just being like, oh, you're just all sheep. Saying things that were popular 20 years ago just to say it. Like,
and then the what chance, like, shrunk in half. And some people were still doing it, but I'd be like, oh, no, he got us.
Yeah. But it's true, though. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I get it's fun when you're in the audience to do it, but it also can be really annoying when you're watching at home.
And in 10 to 15 years, we're going to say the same thing about the yes chance.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to be like, no, what do you mean?
And then we'll
be like, oh, that was fun.
There'll be heels that will cut the promos and be making fun of it. Like, we're making fun of the what chance.
Gotcha,
now.
Gotcha. I get what you're saying.
Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Okay. Next match.
Yep. No.
What?
I mean, the match was fine.
Yeah.
But again, we've seen it a bunch of times.
But
now we have the one. I mean,
there was a good part in this match, actually.
Well, go ahead.
The end was
You're talking about that. I thought you meant a specific part. But you know, we're talking about, you know, like different areas of the characters. So now let's go with Samoa Joe. So with Samoa Joe, because we know how ruthless and intimidating he can be. But one thing about Joe is he's also hilarious. Mm-hmm. But his characters don't really get to show that very much. Mm-hmm. But he's naturally a really funny guy. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Jeff Hardy's going for the Swanton. Samoa Joe apparently on the side when he's not booked on SmackDown bartends.
He must have had to work tonight, I guess. Rare Tuesday shift.
He had to work a double. And Joe is behind a bar asking people, you know, if they want like one more round. This is Trax Hardy, RKO. Orton gets to win. But then Samoa Joe comes back on the screen and does a public service announcement about moderation. You know, it's perfectly fine if you want to have, you know, one or two with friends, but not 14. Mm. Otherwise, you might end up in prison, if even alive. Drink responsibly. Pours himself one. Cheers. Mm. Big old smile on his face. Who is this Samoa Joe, and why can't we have more of him?
Maybe we will now.
Yeah, maybe now.
You didn't like it?
Well, explain to me what you guys thought about that placement.
I don't.
And at that moment,
I hate
if it was necessary
those kind of interruptions in the matches, because I just think it's dumb. Because if I'm fighting someone, I don't really care what's on the screen behind me. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we're always doing is talking to you. He's not doing anything like, he's not like kidnapping your family and is going to like, you know, kill them or something. You know what I mean? There's nothing to where it's really pressing.
It doesn't relate to what's actually going on.
Yeah, like I get it's a weird, I hate those kind of distractions in the match, because I think it's just, it's a cheap way to get, you know, to get the other guy to lose. Like,
it makes
the faces look stupid.
Now, do you feel there would be, I mean, Tom, being that I know you're familiar with the storyline, do you feel there would be any type of backlash on this? Because this is pretty much the exact same angle that they did with CM Punk and Jericho.
I mean, it's been a couple years, so it's not like...
I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but it's identical,
also,
to
also,
it.
Didn't CM Punk and Jeff Hardy almost have the same
and
kind of storyline as well?
CM Punk and Jeff Hardy had a similar storyline, too.
I mean, I think it's relevant of, like, it's... I like the real element to it. Mm-hmm. You know, that this did happen to Jeff Hardy, and it did happen to him recently. It's not like they're bringing
in the last year or so.
Yeah,
right?
I think. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when, but yeah, it's at least relevant to what's happening now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a better story than most times. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm fine with it. I just didn't like the whole. I don't like those distractions.
You wish it just happened at the end of the match.
Yeah, or at least, whatever the promo we cut after the match was fine. Like, I wish he would.
But then, how would Hardy have been distracted to fall into an RKO?
I don't know. I mean, he could have just lost. But the thing I didn't like was that there was no Mysterio this week. Like, I thought we
were selling the injuries from last week.
I know, but I thought maybe we'd have like a follow up of like Randy Orton trying to leave and Mysterio, like trying to combine two stories in one with this whole segment. We're like, all right, we got Joe at the end, but you know.
We'll get a tag match in the next week or two.
Yeah, which I think would be. I think I'm actually looking forward to that.
That'll be a fun tag match.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't like how it did interrupt the match, and also the reactions. I think that you need to give the wrestlers their moment, and then what's going on, because it was like cut to Samoa Joe, then cut back to Hardy's face, and him kind of like going to the audience. There was an awkward pan of the camera. Or was getting the corners of the ring and then going back to Hardy. So I'm not sure I liked how it was filmed, but I will say that it did grab my attention because I was almost trying to piece together what was going on and why we were cutting to this promo or this segment that Samoa Joe did. So it did keep me involved. I can tell you that I know exactly what they were trying to push, and we are all talking about it. So it must have done its job to grab your attention, but I'm not sure that I like how it was done and where it was placed.
Yeah. And if you want to see Samoa Joe being hilarious, watch the
Edge and Christian.
The
episode one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah. What was his name? What was that girl's name? Hey, Tina!
Victoria.
Oh, Victoria. What are you doing over here?
And
that's so good.
And he will only sell Samoa cookies.
Yeah.
It was so good. Main event, AJ Styles versus The Miz. Dan O'Brien at the moment is backstage talking about everything I do with purpose. Now I'm going to commentary, and now he hangs out on commentary and just rips Byron Saxton to shreds.
Oh, man, that was great.
Another moment.
Oh, man. Byron, you're going to get kicked in the groin a lot, man.
Almost as much as AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Eventually, AJ and Miz follow the outside. AJ is in front of Dan O'Brien. Dan O'Brien hops up to reach out his hand, distracting AJ. Miz takes advantage, gets the upper hand, hits a skull crusher finale, but AJ kicks out. Calf crusher by AJ. Miz taps out, but after the match, Dan O'Brien attacked the leg of AJ Styles and went nuts at it.
Mm.
Heel hook, then proceeded to do that crazy stomp that he did by holding AJ's arms. Mm. Did it multiple times.
Mm.
Forced the ring announcer Greg Hamilton to announce him again. And then as SmackDown's going off the air, runs back in the ring and puts a heel hook on AJ Styles again.
Yes. That's how you end a show.
That was great. Because it was one of the, it was one of those moments of, we got to get him off him. Mm. Why won't he let go? Cut.
Yep.
Here comes Chris Lee.
Mm. No.
No. Oh, no. Oh,
no. No, no, no. It was Chris Lee.
Was it Chris Lee that came after? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Here comes Chris Lee. Too bad. You might want to watch AJ and Payne. Here comes Chris Lee.
He knows best. You could be in Chris Lee's family. You have that, like, nice, like, boy next door sort of quality about yourself.
I have no idea.
Christian being... Chris Lee?
Yeah, Christian Chris Lee. That's a belt to it, right? I like it.
Mr. Chris Lee, will you be my dad?
No, honestly, I know it's, like, super random, but you fit in really well with that family.
I don't know how to take that.
Wouldn't it be funny to do, like, a little skit? Like, a fun, like, side skit? You know how, like, all those Clever and Smosh and... all those fun comedy groups do stuff. You do comedy on this.
I do.
You should do a fun skit.
Christian Chrisley coming soon.
Christian Chrisley.
Coming after SmackDown Live's After Buzz recap.
Yeah. Christian Chrisley knows best.
Rosie knows best.
With a little less Botox.
That's true.
Just a little.
Wait,
just
are you
a little,
sure?
Though.
Are you sure you have that Botox?
Just a little less.
I don't see many wrinkles in your forehead.
Hey.
Over there.
I am very youthful for my age.
You got the middle section done, didn't you?
But I don't know if we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, but you were talking about doing like an overrun on the network
with we were talking about. I think it was in a wrestling rap segment. We were talking about how Raw's stopping at that 3 hour mark. I'm like, oh, that's what they'll do a runoff. But yeah, they could totally do it for this too. The only reason I think they weren't is because we had a mixed match challenge.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I guess, yeah, it had to be kind of scheduled in or at least figured out each week. But yeah, I'm sure they'll show it on WWE.com of like...
exclusive, you know, of how long he was in it after and being helped to the back and all that.
Mm-hmm. With an interview or whatever. Yeah. So.
But it was an intense way to end SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And again, building that feud. And it's so interesting because we have TLC coming up and this is a title match. No gimmick with it.
No.
But you want to see this.
Yeah.
Now, I really do feel, honestly, the women's TLC match will close the show, which I'm all for.
Mm.
But they better not put this in, like, the middle of the show.
I think it will. I mean...
it always is.
But there's no Universal title match, so...
No.
I think
Rollins and Ambrose are going to main event the show, aren't they?
No. I hope not. No, I think it's going to... I would think it would
be... Although Braun and Corbin are going to main event the show.
No way. Oh, gosh.
Probably.
I think it'll be... I think it would be the Ronda match, this match, then women's TLC to end the show.
I'm fine with that order as the last three matches of the show.
Yeah.
You know what it's time for, though?
Wrestling rap.
Wow. Gabby knew the answer to that question.
Of course I knew the answer.
Gabby, what do we got this week?
So this week, WWE is currently in Santiago, Chile for a new set of tryouts and first ever for the country. Head trainer Matt Bloom and coaches Robbie Brookside and Sarah Stock are present alongside a few NXT superstars to scout some newbies. A few standout talent were in attendance, including the likes of, and please forgive me if I get their names wrong, if you guys can help me if I'm doing pronunciation issues. I don't know if you will even know them, but Patricia Maria Fontes Santos, a former ballet dancer, and she's also a jiu-jitsu champion.
Damn.
We have Tayan Porfirio de Araujo, who at 23 is already a jiu-jitsu champion with multiple awards. And Dragon Bane, who is the current king of the air champion for IWRG. We have Zatara, a wrestler from the 2018 Mae Young Classic tournament. Mm-hmm. We have Ricky Marvin, who has wrestled in a slew of promotions over the last 20 years. So a lot of people with a lot of experience in different areas.
Sure.
Which I think is great because it diversifies WWE. So hopefully they get a few good people from the Latin America market. And then the last tryout camps were held in November in Germany. And the next one for WWE has been announced and will take place in India come March 2019 for their first visit. What do you guys think about that?
I love it. I mean, they've done one in, I think, Saudi Arabia as well. They've done one, I think, in Japan. They've done one here. They've done one there. They're going all around the world to find the best talent in the world.
Yeah.
And they're doing, like, the whole world scouting thing. And again, these are people, maybe not necessarily have a wrestling background, but people will see, oh, well, they're athletic. Now let's test and see their endurance. Let's test their charisma. Let's test and see if they can kind of be molded into a superstar.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love that they go, I mean, you know, the pioneer of AfterBuzz Wrestling, Ryan Katz, associate producer for NXT, he goes on all these trips as well, helping the scout and so review exciting. Everything. Yeah. And it's great seeing it. And they found a number of new talent from these searches.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm. I just can't wait till, like, each continent has
an NXT.
And then they can all compete against each other, against Shane McMahon for best in the world.
And Shane wins.
Yeah.
Shane wins.
Well, eventually someone else will get that trophy, I'm sure. John Cena is going to be honored this year at the Sports Illustrated Spokesperson of the Year Awards on December 11th. The pro wrestler and actor extraordinaire will receive the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award. The award honors a sports figure who embodies the ideals of sportsmanship, leadership, and philanthropy, and has used sports as a platform to make the world a better place. Well, I think that perfectly describes John Cena.
Yeah.
With all the work that he's done for Make-A-Wish and other foundations and organizations. Do you guys think this award was well-deserved?
Tom, he's your favorite wrestler.
He is my favorite. I miss him so much each week. I just, you know, cry myself to sleep a little bit. I mean, totally. I mean, anything, like, I mean, in the ring and out of the ring, he's always a professional. Always. And, I mean, all the Make-A-Wish he does, he's the most...
By far.
The most Make-A-Wishes ever.
Like, more than twice as many as the next person.
So, like, I mean, just for that alone, he should get this award. And I think, yeah, he definitely deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, he's done so many, besides Make-A-Wish, so many other charity things. Mm. And all the times he goes to make appearances, I mean, we see it documented where all of a sudden he's doing this Make-A-Wish here, then he's appearing on this show here, and all of a sudden he's on Raw across the country later that night.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, for what he's done for all these charities, and obviously for WWE, putting them on this platform and things like that. I mean, he was the first main spokesperson for the Susan G. Komen stuff when WWE started with them, too.
Yeah.
And, he certainly helped a lot with the Connors Cure, even though that was more so like Dana Bryan in a way. But he's done so much, and yeah, this is 100% well-deserved.
Mm. Yeah. Lars Sullivan is being called up to the main roster according to featured promos. So Wrestling Observer said the video package was not supposed to air that soon as it did. And the original promo schedule had Lars' promo airing post-TLC to build up a decision between which brand Lars would be moving to, whether it's going to be SmackDown or Raw. However, Vince McMahon saw that filmed vignette and was impressed and bumped up the package earlier. So what do you guys think of Lars being called up early?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily him being called up early. I think it's just the video packaging starting early. So, like, teases.
You don't think he's being called up to the main roster?
Oh, no, he is.
Like, too early?
I don't think he's being called up.
Yeah, I guess that's the point.
I don't think he's being called up too early because, I mean, he's one of those type of monster guys, and he does it well. He's got a great look. His entrance, the way they do the lighting, is fantastic. Makes him look like a giant when he's really only 6'3", 6'4". Mm. And I can see him end up on SmackDown because I don't see him acting like a monster with the Monster Among Men on the same show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I think it's just going to be him. Kind of how Braun was when they first separated from the Wyatts. Mm-hmm. Every week just destroying, like, one guy. Then he's going to fight, like, two guys, then three guys. You know, just keep going and just destroying people. I don't know if I really like... I mean, when you look at Braun, it's kind of like, where did he really? Like, I mean, he's had a bunch of title shots, but he's still never won. So it's kind of hard to, where do you go? Where do you put this guy?
Sure.
When they just destroy everybody, and then they actually get into a real feud with someone, and they can't win. I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be fine, but I don't know how long he'll be, you know, around.
Right.
I hope he's around a while. I think he can cut a promo, which is good, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I hope when he comes up, he goes to SmackDown, because I think with Braun Strowman on Raw, it only makes sense to keep him on the
Right, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I totally
agree. Or if anything, maybe we get some weird kind of switch where Strowman comes to SmackDown. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, like Shane gets him and goes, all right, well, I got Lars, but I'll give you,
Corbin,
you know,
fires Strowman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to address one thing before I get to my Kevin Owens, because I know people in the chat role were talking about this. Matt Hardy is not retiring, to clarify, and he does want to be GM of Raw. He's been tweeting about it nonstop, and I guess Bray Wyatt's all in favor. So.
I would love, if you put Matt Hardy, broken or woken Matt Hardy, as a general manager, I don't care what show it's on, I am tuning into that.
Me too.
Well, you know,
be
Bray
way better
said
than what they have now.
Yes.
He has his vote all the way, in that he would make an absolutely divine, stupendous GM, Michael Pierre. So,
GMs that would
be really cool. And then the last thing I'm going to go over is, in case you didn't know, Kevin Owens learned English fluently by watching Raw on a regular basis and imitating Hall of Famer broadcaster Jim Ross, believe it or not. So, you know, French is his first language. He's from Canada. And I'm sure this probably was...
So this wasn't a Kevin Owens news bit. This is just, did you know about Kevin Owens?
This is a did you know. This is a did you know. It doesn't have to be a news bit, because there's not always news about Kevin Owens. But Kevin Owens always has to be involved.
I like that.
Because it is sponsored by Kevin Owens.
Yes.
The wrestling rat.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Well, now that our knowledge has been lifted from that, we should get ready to wrap this puppy up. But we want to hear what you guys think on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and the YouTube page. We want to hear your feedback on the shows. What do you like? What do you not like? Do you agree with our opinions? I mean, you should. But if you're not, tell us why. Well, I'm not always right. It's true. I know it's hard to believe.
Don't be fickle.
Don't be fickle. Do not be fickle. And don't laugh when you try to say fickle like Daniel Bryan did tonight. But you can also talk to us on social media. Tom Connolly, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TomTheCom. Check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central. Get those Christmas gifts in.
There you go. Gabby.
Hey, guys. You can follow me at GabbyLaurenTV on both Instagram and Twitter. I've also started live streaming for Shein. I know I'll be back with them in January again, so probably around like New Year's time. Make sure you get all your Christmas gifts in with them. They have a lot of great deals, and I'll be hosting.
And follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, The Will Rosenberg, personaltees.com/Christian Rosenberg. Also, tune in tomorrow night to the 83 Weeks YouTube page for Eric Bischoff, because now the AfterBuzz for 83 Weeks has interviews with the Eric Bischoff. It's going to start a run on exclusively the YouTube page. It's going to be premiering tomorrow night. Check that out. Eric's a pretty cool guy, I must say. And for all your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow him on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. AfterBuzzTV, that's what I said. I did so well until the end of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Tom Connolly and Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.